your holiday gift set. A gift-giving suggestion at a very giving price.
This year's holiday gift set includes the famous Ovation Cell Therapy 3-Bottle System, plus intensive repair hair mask, clarifying shampoo, Ovation vitamins, and special Ovation detangling comb. What a great gift at a great savings price.
The Ovation Holiday Gift Set is already specially priced at 60% off retail. But this week only, get free shipping too. Now through Friday, save 60% off retail with free shipping. Hurry, the gift set sell out every year.
At this special price, buy an Ovation gift set for a friend and one for yourself too.
Go now to ovationhair.com and order yours today. Save over 60% and get free shipping. Now through Friday, new customers should select this station at checkout to get an additional introductory discount. ovationhair.com.
Democrats are claiming the Russians hacked the election. Now one person is saying, maybe it was actually the Democrats. Here's more on the story from Chris Barnes.
Former Ambassador John Bolton suggesting the Obama administration itself could have had a hand in election season hacking that the CIA's been blaming on Russia.
It's not at all clear to me, just viewing this from the outside, that this hacking into the DNC and the RNC computers was not a false flag operation.
Speaking on Fox News, the former ambassador to the UN said it's extremely important to have an independent investigation into the matter. I'm Chris Barnes.
Brutal cold expected to grip huge swaths of the Midwest and Northeast this week. Some areas already covered in snow are going to get more. Storm system predicted to drop a foot of snow and icy rain from Pennsylvania through New England all the way through Wednesday night. Hundreds of traffic accidents and flight cancellations already been reported in the upper Midwest and Northeast. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Word.
Any Jane Doe can tell you that Geico could help you save. But since money talks, we just ask the savings instead.
Greetings and sun salutations. I'm Jane's Money, and I never knew my self-worth until Jane switched her car insurance at Geico.com. Those 15 minutes built me up to real savings. Geico's been helping customers save money like me for over 75 years. So take that to the bank. And namaste.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
New York City officials are claiming that crime is down in the city, but after a shooting last night, some residents are saying they just aren't seeing that. Here's a story from Sarah Lee Kessler.
One man was killed, another is critical, following an argument last night at the corner of East 175th Street and Weeks Avenue in Mount Hope. Sidney Flores lives in the neighborhood and says he doesn't believe police when they say crime is down.
The videos don't lie. You see crime happening, so I don't understand how they keep saying crime is down.
Seven people were shot in just over an hour last night in the Bronx and Brooklyn. There were also shootings in Queens and Manhattan. No arrests yet. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
A group that collects organs for transplants in Mississippi getting some great news. Here's correspondent Randy Bell.
The Mississippi Organ Recovery Agency will no longer have to hope that doctors can get into a hospital operating room quickly to remove the heart, lungs, liver, and other organs that somebody needs. Mora now has its own surgical suite to use in recovering those organs. And out of 58 organ procurement organizations in the country,
we'll be one of nine who actually have an on-site facility for organ and tissue recovery.
Kelly Ware, director of hospital development for Mora, says they hope to have that new facility in Flowood in full operation in the next 3 months. Randy Bell in Jackson.
Federal investigators wrapping up work at the Oakland warehouse where 36 people died in a fire. Agents from the ATF say they have yet to determine the cause of the fire. It's the deadliest building fire in more than a dozen years. USA Radio News.
This is Georgine Trinkle, your host for Hot and Hunterdon today, and I have in the studio with me, I'm very excited about our author. We're going to get some things going here. You just heard from our news, and first, because today was the funeral of one of the New Jersey State Troopers that passed away in his funeral, we want to send some thoughts to the family of the troopers and the state police, and certainly the family of police trooper Frankie Williams. And we send good thoughts their way. And we always want to start out with a quote. And because I have an author in the studio, we have to have a quote from an author. So this is the best I could do today. I often repeat a quote my father always said to me, which was, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's not enough to want to do the right thing, but you actually have to do the right thing. There's no excuses there. So since we have Michael Stephen Daigle in the studio with us, who is an author, we're going to go with an author quote of Stephen King, who said, the road to hell is actually paved with adverbs.
That's about right.
So that is our story for the day. We do have some commercials to do and weather and pay the bills, and then we'll be back live doing some discussion with an author about two books. I know there's another book coming out, and we're going to be talking about the Frank Negler series, because I need to know what Frank's up to, and I hope you will too. Stay with us.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
And we are back. Today is December 12th, and we're at Hot and Hunterdon here in the Flemington office, and I'm going to give you a little peek about the weather. So this afternoon, the weather definitely rallied. This morning was a little iffy. We had some snow, some sleet, little mixed bag of winter weather, but it is gone. It's partly sunny, and there's a high of 47 today. Tomorrow is looking very nice with a partly sunny forecast and a high of 40. It's mostly cloudy Tuesday evening, which would be the 13th of December, and then a slight chance of the S word that we don't say in the studio, Mike, just so you know, unless it's sunny. That is the only S word. We don't do sleet. We don't do snow, and we definitely don't like the S word here except sunny. So Wednesday, we can say it's mostly sunny, a high of 39. Wednesday night's looking a little chilly with a low of 20. Thursday night is even worse with a low of 10, but 24 on Thursday during the day, and the sun is out. So we have sun the whole week with the exception of a slight chance of snow Tuesday evening, where our low is 26. So it's a little cold, but there will be no more precipitation. We have one more commercial to do, and then we'll be back here at Hot and Hunterdon.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're back in the studio, and I'm going to make my guest microphone live now. So just be warned, you are on the air, and I'm happy to have in the studio today Michael Stephen Daigle, who has written two books. The first book, The Swamps of Jersey, and then A Game Called Dead, which we were lucky enough to have right before it went to print, or just shortly after it went to print. And I know that you have a third book in the works.
A third book called The Weight of Living has been sent to my publisher, Imzadi Publishing of Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're in the book is done, but we're in the cleanup editing, get the cover It's got a couple more reads. I just got a read back from a friend who does copy editing for me, and there were several thousand commas that need to be removed and quotation marks that needed to be added. I noticed that when I was reading it myself, I got into, just because I'm a terrible typist, I was leaving out the close quotes, or I was starting every paragraph with a quotation mark, whether it was a quote or not. If I had been able to take typing in high school, you know, what a loss. But the Weight of Living picks up a couple of years after A Game Called Dead. These books are set in a fictional Ironton, New Jersey, which is a large conglomerate version of Dover, New Jersey, Morris County, and pick a old industrial center that fell on hard times, and that's the description of Ironton. Frank Nagler is a police detective, and these are his stories as he investigates an assortment of crimes and deals with his whole realm of fatigue and loneliness and brokenheartedness. And it's a progression. They are atmospheric, character-driven stories. They're not necessarily traditional police, Mickey Spillane kind of murder mysteries, but they're involving, and they're written from the point of view of Frank Nagler, and I want the reader to sort of guess along with Frank as he solves these crimes. And there are points where he gets frustrated, and you kind of want the reader to feel that frustration. He stops at some point and says, "Why don't I know anything about this?" And we move through the first two, and then into the third one. It was a harder book to write because there are similar themes in the first two.
Let's jump into the second book for just a moment, A Game Called Dead. That book just won an award.
Yes, thank you. That sort of came out of nowhere. A friend of mine from Texas sent me an email months ago that said, you know, check out this website. And so I did, and you check them out, and you have to put in your email, and so I'm getting a constant stream of emails from them, and they announced a contest. And so I entered A Game Called Dead, and it was a runner-up. They picked three winners, so to speak, and then a couple of hundred runners-up out of, I'm going to guess, a few thousand. It was a year-long contest, so I'm sure they got a few thousand entries, but out of nowhere. In fact, the woman who ran the contest sent me an email and said, "How did you hear about us?" And the best I can figure is my friend in Texas sent me a note about him, and so I filed it. You know, I looked at it and said, that's not bad. You know, that's the second book out, and somebody thought it was good enough that they gave it an award. And
a lot of somebodies, because it was a voters or readers' choice type of contest and award. So a lot of people read the book and thought that it should be an award-winning book. And one of the things that was really interesting that you did with Frank Nagler in the second book is that he lost his wife. He's a widow. Yes. Is it widow?
Widower.
Widower. He's a widower, and yet you know he's heartbroken, but you never mentioned in the second book really so much about his marriage, but you just know he's walking around and he's heartbroken and he's disenchanted. But you know in there, you want to think in there as the reader, somewhere that there's a little spark of hope in there, that he's just not so crusted and cynical, and somewhere along the line, he's going to be open enough to experience love again, because you know he did, because he's suffering this great loss and grief, and it's years later.
It's part of the growth with Frank is, and there's two continual themes. One is how Ironton, New Jersey becomes a healthy city and economically and all of that again, and how Frank overcomes the cage that he put himself in. In the first book, somewhere, he does mention that he buried his grief in his police work. And there's a description in the funeral of his wife where he gets up and says he absorbed the cold, and his soul became locked in at that moment. And it's a question of how he moves past that in the other books. And it's complicated by the fact that he becomes attracted to Lauren Fox. And although she doesn't appear in the first book, she plays a big part in that relationship. She shows up in the second book and sort of whacks him upside the head and says, here, we're going to get over it. But it's what Frank needs to be told. And and the thing that I like about Lauren as a character is that she gives Nagler the room to figure out what he has to do. And the last part of that book, the last scene in that book, is Frank coming to terms with, because after the big mess at the end of A Game Called Dead, where the cops are chasing the bad guy and all of that, there's a scene, because that scene takes place during a local protest where thousands of citizens have been marching in the streets, and Frank's friends get involved in the crime scene. And after all of that's over, Lauren sits him down and says, hey, Frank, look, here it is. Your wife was your great love. I'm your sweet girl. There's room for both of us. And then the last part of that book is Frank sort of absorbing that piece of information that he's just been given, and how to begin to move out of it. And in the third book, the element of his wife's death plays in there, partially because he runs into an old nun who knew him in elementary school and knows everything about him, which he doesn't really appreciate, but that's where it goes.
And like all New Jersey books, all books based in a fictitious town in New Jersey, there's a great diner scene.
There's diner scenes. You have to have a diner scene.
So we're going to do a break here so I can pay the bills, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about the series, the Frank Nagler series. Stay with us.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back in the studio here. My name is Georgine Trinkle. I'm your host. Every Monday from 4 to 5 at Hot and Hunterdon, I have with me Michael Stephen Daigle, author, award-winning writer, and an award-winning book, A Game Called Dead, recently won a great award. So we have him in the studio. We were doing some technical things here. So we are back now, Mike, to talk a little bit about some things with your third book. You stayed with the same publisher?
Stayed with the same publisher. I remember when I got the first book published, I'd been sending it out for a couple of years and getting a lot of weekend rejections. And I was just thrilled to have some publisher interested enough in the book to take it on. They're a small publisher out of Oklahoma. And I look at it and say, we're kind of growing together. They have added writers in the last year, have gotten better organized with terms of distribution and publicity, and are working on things like promotional videos for YouTube, all of which is encouraging. So their outreach is expanding. And so my part in this is I've been trying to get into speaking at libraries, and I'll be speaking at the Hackettstown Library on Wednesday night at 6:30, because here you get to sit down with readers and walk through how you wrote the books and just gain some awareness of your own books plus our publisher. I've talked to early on. I talked to some people who had books published by better known publishers, and they're doing the same thing. The whole marketing aspect of books and print and everything have changed so much that you do a lot of work yourself, and it's a matter of getting in front of people. So
I'd love to share the video of the book that was like a little teaser to the book. Would I find that on your page?
And I don't know what the URL is. If you Google YouTube, A Game Called Dead, and my name, it shows up.
Okay, we're going to try to get that on our Facebook feed, because talking about your publisher being able to have more of a presence with their authors, it was a wonderful production that they did. It looked like I was waiting for the movie release to come out. It looked like a trailer to a movie. It was really wonderful.
It was very well done. And Anita, who also did the cover, is the graphic artist for the company, and she has been working hard on these kind of promotional materials, and I greatly appreciate that effort. You don't know what it means, because I have no skill in that area, so it's good to have somebody who does.
It's a good thing you're a writer. You're not a skilled typist, and you're not a skilled productionist.
I can't type, so it's a good thing. It's both a good thing and a bad thing to have spell check. So
it is. At least we found some things that you can do, which are developing these amazing characters that come to life, and the town, too. Sometimes I feel like it's every town in New Jersey, because every town in New Jersey has hit difficult economic times. There are abandoned properties and brownfields littered all over the state. So it could be anywhere in New Jersey, or really any community where there was once something that was thriving, and Frank just sort of takes on the sense of that, where he was once thriving and now he's not, and there might be hope, but we're not sure. You're leading us to a place where we think there's hope, we want there to be hope, but he's also cynical, and he's
a troubled guy because of his past, but also because he's a cop. And you see lots of stuff you don't ever want to see again. And unfortunately, he ends up chasing people who want to do him harm, who want to do his friends harm. In the third book, at one point, he's having a conversation with Jimmy Dawson, the local reporter, who's sort of his nemesis, and also his friend. And they're sort of walking through what the villain in the third book has been doing, and Nagel says, he's got a list of people, and he's just whittling down the list, and he's going to try to get them. And Dawson asks him, so are you on the top of that list? And he says, no, I'm just sort of inconveniently in the way. And what happens to Frank is that being a detective and being a police officer interested in what goes on in his town, he finds himself inconveniently in the way, and that puts his friends in danger. They're in danger in a game called Dead. His friend Leonard allows his bookstore to be sort of the stage for the last scene. And Dawson looks at him and says, "What, are you nuts?" and Nagel says, "Yeah, probably." You know, it's that kind of thing. But he's also, he put himself in such an emotional shell when his wife died that it's hard for him to walk around in the world and not get over that sense that something's missing. And so you play with that piece. Everyone, it changes a little bit. In each book, he's somewhat more open, but he's also challenged by lots of things. And then, without giving anything away, in the third book, it is the most existential moment in Frank's imagined life. About three-quarters of the way through the book, there is Frank out there watching the pieces of his world fall apart, and he has to ask himself, how do I deal with this?
And what is, again, the name of the third book?
It's called The Weight of Living.
And when do you think that one might be?
I'm thinking February, March.
Okay, so if people are looking for some Christmas presents from a local New Jersey author, we have The Swamps of Jersey and A Game Called Dead.
Right.
Those are your two books that are published. Your short stories, I'm not sure.
Well, short stories are on a website called Smashwords. You can download them for free. I put those up about 3 years ago. It was just the way, they've had a couple 300 hits over 2 years, and it's sort of a way of getting people to recognize that. And I've noticed as the novels have gained a little bit more attention that I'm seeing more downloads on those, and that's fine.
And they're good stories.
Thank you.
There's a lot of content to them. I know the one was about really growing up, right?
Yeah.
You had shared a story about, which of course is all fictional, right?
Yeah.
But really good stories and really great writing. And do you still do other, you're really on this series right now? And that's,
I'm really focused. I do some freelance writing, but I'm really focusing on the books. What happened, I was thinking about this the other day, and I think a lot, the thought came out of the comment that you made about how, the reader gets invested in these people. I'm sort of their parent here, and my children are running around the literary world, and I have to give them a home. So what do I do with them? People ask about them when they see it, and I get comments asking what's going on with them. And it's a question of, okay, I'm trying to figure that out.
And you need to figure it out, because we're wondering, like, is he going to be cynical? Is he going to be hopeful? Is he really he really thinks the entire world is out to get him, but it doesn't mean they're not.
Well, yeah. And then it turns out they are. And it's a matter, with Frank, it's a question of, and he asks himself this all the time, how do I manage to put my friends in such danger? And there's a point where, in one of the scenes in the third book, something's happened to Lauren, and he starts saying, "Geez, I have to do a bet." And she says, "No, we understand the risk here, Frank. You can't lock us in a room to keep us safe. We have to be out in the world." Don't think about that. But he thinks about that all the time, because he doesn't want to lose people. And for somebody who has two friends in the world, you don't really want to lose either one of them.
And you want to, as a reader, you want to think he's more paranoid. And then when it turns out that he's not,
he's not.
Yeah, it's a dichotomy there, because you don't really want him to be right, but you do want him to be right.
You want him, you'd hope that he could fix things, but he can't. And the rewrite of A Game Called Dead, which was actually the first Frank Nagel book, it was a pretty simple cop and robber kind of thing that I was able to write when I was in my 20s. It's not a book I could write. I couldn't write that same book now. With a game called Dead, it was a question of at what point do I want to tell the reader who the bad guy is? And I did it right away. In fact, I went back and added hints, because if you didn't figure out in the first one, you're going to figure out by the third one, because it's a game. And there are rules to the game, and both sides have written rules, and both sides have rewritten the rules, and both sides have changed the rules within the game, and it's the one who changes the rules last who wins. And both Nagler and the villain understand that, and so it's a game between those two, and it's Frank, who's internet illiterate for the most part, and hashtag Armageddon, who is computer savvy, and he plays the game online, and Frank's playing it in the real world, and the lines blur periodically, but it's a question of at what point does Frank figure out how these rules work and how he can change them to his advantage, and that's what was fun about writing the book. It was identifying the players. It's like the beginning of a football game. Both teams run onto the field, and you know who's playing quarterback, and you know who's not playing quarterback. And then it's a question of how do these two interact? And then you just play it. And it was written as a roller coaster ride. It takes off and just keeps running. A friend of mine who read it said he sat down on a Saturday to read it, and then just didn't put it down. He read it the entire book in one day.
Well, that is really a good testament. We're going to hear more about that after our commercial break. Radio time always goes so much faster than any other time. So we'll be back in the studio with Michael Stephen Daigle to hear more about the Frank Nagler series. Stay with us.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Every day, every morning, same words. Sir, nothing has changed. Let's go over it again. I don't need that.
President-elect Donald Trump speaking to Fox News Sunday about why he hadn't been taking some intelligence briefings. Critics of Trump have been saying it shows he doesn't have a commitment to learn about national security. Meanwhile, it's been found that President Obama misses on average 4 out of every 7 daily briefings. Trump also spoke about pipelines, saying they are under burdensome regulations and create jobs.
We have jobs that are in the pipeline. And I deal with all the executives, the big ones and the small ones. I have really gotten to know this country. And when you have to wait 10 and 15 years for an approval, and then you don't even get the approval, it's no good.
The White House joining Democratic calls for an investigation into whether Russians influenced the election despite a complete lack of evidence presented to the public by the CIA. USA Radio News.
This holiday season, give your family and friends the gift of thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier looking hair with the Ovation Hair Care Holiday Gift Set. A gift-giving suggestion at a very giving price.
This year's holiday gift set includes the famous Ovation Cell Therapy 3-Bottle System, plus intensive repair hair mask, clarifying shampoo, Ovation vitamins, and special Ovation detangling comb. What a great gift at a great savings price.
The Ovation Holiday Gift Set is already specially priced at 60% off retail. But this week only, get free shipping too. Now through Friday, save 60% off retail with free shipping. Hurry, the gift set sell out every year.
At this special price, buy an Ovation gift set for a friend and one for yourself too.
Go now to ovationhair.com and order yours today. Save over 60% and get free shipping. Now through Friday, new customers should select this station at checkout to get an additional introductory discount. ovationhair.com.
Democrats are attacking a possible choice for Trump's Secretary of State because they think he's too friendly with Russia. Here's more from correspondent Chris Barnes.
Chief of Staff Reince Priebus says of Tillerson,
he's one of the most preeminent business people, not just in America, in the entire world.
Tillerson has run the Texas-based oil company for more than a decade, and he does have close ties with Russian President Vladimir Putin. However, Trump says,
to me, a great advantage is he knows many of the players, and he knows them well.
Trump spoke on Fox News Sunday. Priebus on NBC's Meet the Press. I'm Chris Barnes.
Family and friends saying their final goodbyes today at the funeral of former NFL player Joe McKnight, the 28-year-old shot and killed during a road rage incident December 1st in Louisiana. The suspected gunman in the case, 54-year-old Ronner Gasser, arrested and charged with manslaughter days after the shooting. And it's down to the wire if you want to get something delivered by Christmas without paying an arm and a leg for expedited shipping. December 15th, the deadline for letters and packages to arrive via UPS Standard Ground. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
The First Lady of New York is teaming up with an actor to raise awareness about mental health. Here's the story.
So you've heard about NYC Well and what we're trying to do?
McRae, along with American Horror Story actor Dennis O'Hare, handed out pamphlets here in Union Square about the free NYC Well program.
This can be such a difficult time of year, and our mission this week is to let people know that they don't have to bear this burden alone.
O'Hare lost two family members, including his little sister, to suicide.
She retreated into an isolated place where she felt that she had no options.
He tells us it's his first time getting involved.
You know, it's obviously a private matter, and so you're reluctant to talk about it, but I think that especially issues like this have to be talked about.
Ethan Harp, New York.
An officer who pulled a woman over for drunk driving is now losing an eye. Here's a story from Jason Campedonia.
Sergeant Mark Bustamante was in the middle of pulling a woman over Saturday for driving drunk when she started fighting with deputies. The woman is now facing charges for kicking Bustamante in the eye with the heel of her boot. He was rushed to the hospital to be treated for his injury, but doctors were unable to save his eye. The woman also kicked another deputy, but he's expected to be okay. She's due in court later this week. Jason Campedonia, Phoenix.
The trial of South Carolina church shooter Dylan Roof continues. Testimony today had an officer who processed Roof's car said inside he had a letter that contained lists of several churches, a Confederate flag, a burned American flag, and a gun. More news online at usaradio.com.
And we're back in the studio. I'm Georgine Trinkle, your host here at Hot and Hunterdon. I'm with Michael Stephen Daigle, author of an award-winning book and an award-winning writer, who will be at the Hackettstown Library this Wednesday, which is December 14th at 6:30, and he'll be reading from A Game Called Dead. And we got engrossed into the third book because A Game Called Dead ended a little bit abruptly, and I understand the third book, we have more on the seat of our pants sort of ending in store for us readers.
Yeah, it opens with the discovery of a young girl standing in a dumpster outside a grocery store wearing shorts and a t-shirt, no shoes. She doesn't speak to police. She doesn't speak to anybody. And so social services are called in to kind of first give her a place to stay. And eventually she ends up, the state gets temporary custody so they can begin to really find out who she is. When I created her as the lead in, I knew what the last sentence of the book was going to be, and you're going to have to read the book to find out, because I'm not going to tell you. But
you're so mean, and this is, we're talking about The Weight of Living.
The Weight of Living, yes. Okay. But I knew, because that's the whole point, and that point is discussed several times through the book. How do we reach this girl who seems so recessed and so damaged that she won't speak to anybody? And it's a book with damaged characters. These are some of the most damaged people that I've ever imagined. And including the nun. The nun showed up. The scene simply was, okay, the state got temporary custody of the girl, let's move on. And all of a sudden, Sister Catherine Marie walks into the hallway. She's known Frank Langler since he was six. She calls him Francis. And he kind of goes, oh, what are you doing here? And she said, well, I'm taking care of her. She's going to stay at my home while we sort this out. And, oh, by the way, Francis, this isn't exactly what you think it is. And it turns out, from that point, Sister Catherine may be the most important character in the whole book. And it's a deeply involving, ever-changing mystery because the characters just show up, they say stuff, and then they contradict themselves, and they get caught in lies, and they get caught in fabrications that are different from the lies that they told. And even the nun is caught up in all of that. But there's a very deep, dark secret to everything that those characters talk about that I'm not going to tell you about. But the book ends abruptly. And there's a lot of things that have happened to some characters that appear in the other books that people are going to say, okay, what happens next? And as a writer, my job is to now say what happens next. And there are two things I have to do. I sort of have to get the next story written pretty quickly because there's so much stuff hanging. And there are some key characters who readers are going to have a lot of questions. What happens to them? Because of the way the series has worked, I find it remarkable that the outcome and the condition of the characters has become so important. While they're the same people, the one concept in this series is that there is a core group of people who move from story to story, and the readers get involved with that core group. And in the third one, some stuff happens to that core group that I'm not sure all the readers are going to be happy with, but it's sort of the way the story went. So I have two challenges here. The next book has to sort of pick up where this one left off quite quickly. It can't be a couple of years later. It's got to be months later or weeks later, because
days later.
There's too many questions. But that's okay. That's part of the challenge. The other thing that I thought about is that I need to go back to the beginning with Frank Nagler and explain what happened between he and his wife and he and Charlie Adams, who in the second book, A Game Called Dead, shows up in court as the serial killer that he was chasing. We don't tell that whole story, and I think I need to go back and kind of put it in context. And I was playing with how to do that. The facts are that Charlie Adams killed 9 women. The other fact is that Frank Nagler's young wife died of leukemia when she was, 23 years old. And as I was thinking about it, that becomes the dichotomy. And Frank has to say at one point, I spend all day chasing this guy who's deliberately killing people, and at night I go home and hope my wife isn't going to die that night. And that becomes the yin and the yang of the story. I also have to explain in the first book why Detective Frank Nagler doesn't like being called Detective Frank Nagler, because he objects to that name through the whole thing. And I figured out that it has something to do with Charlie Adams, and I'm not quite sure why.
Well, if you don't figure it out, Mike, we're not going to be able to figure it out. So.
But I have to figure it out. And I think by going back and examining what happens with Frank's wife, because they were high school sweethearts, or third grade sweethearts. You know, their whole life they were in love. And she dies and leaves him a wreck. And then you've got Charlie Adams, who's just this soulless evil killer. And he has to deal with both of those things at the same time. So it's life and death, fighting for life, trying to stop death at the same time. And so that becomes the story of the first version. Which is a much different version than A Game Called Dead was when I wrote it, because the first version of A Game Called Dead was Cops and Robbers. And it was not as complex and not as involving as it became later. What's going to happen and the thing is, I sort of have to write them at the same time, because I think one of them, the first one, is going to inform the fifth one. And so I have to kind of figure out how to do both stories at once.
Well, you better get out of the studio and get writing, because we need to know more about Frank. You do get invested in characters, and it is an issue when you're a reader and you're waiting for the next book, and then you're taking too much time here, Mike. So we're going to do a commercial break, and we'll be back with our last segment. Stay with us here at Hot and Hunterdon.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, we're back in the studio and we're live. I'm here with Michael Stephen Daigle, an author who has a book, a game called Dead, The Swamps of Jersey. And we'll be at the Hackettstown Library this Wednesday on the 14th at 6:30, reading from a game called Dead and talking about the newest book that will be coming out after we get through this winter, which I hope will be quick and painless, The Weight of Living. He also has some other stories you can download for free at Smashwords. And we'll put some links up for that on our Facebook page. And we were just talking about the process of writing, which I think is very interesting for people who get immersed in the character and they feel that they're living, breathing entities. And they don't want to let them go. And they want to know how they're created. And you were speaking on the break of how you figured out the last part of your book and then sort of wrote toward that.
Yeah, in The Weight of Living, it opens with this young girl who's found standing in a dumpster on a cold night wearing a tank top and shorts. She doesn't speak to the police. She doesn't speak to the grocery store guy who found her. She doesn't speak to the social workers who come or to the nuns. She basically remains silent through the whole book, yet they're trying to reach past whatever it is that is keeping her from talking, and there are several characters who make that attempt. And so the plotting of the story is we have the young girl, she doesn't speak, she doesn't say her name, and during the book several characters say, question, what can we call her? We don't want to just give her a name because she has a name, but we don't know what it is, and some of the quest is to try to find it. So the last line of the book explains all of that. Not from who you think it's going to come, but comes from...
You're being mean again, Mike.
Sorry. But it's, you know, it's what drives the story, and the thing I like about The Weight of Living is the... there's just so much stuff going on, and I don't sit down and plot these things out. I don't plan. I sort of figure out where the beginning is and where the ending is, and then I'll fill in how many ever pages there are. And in this case, I was surprised by who did what.
You can't be surprised. You're the author.
Well, you are sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean,
I understand that.
It's like the creation of Sister Catherine Marie. There was a scene where they're in family court, and the state's trying to get temporary custody of this girl so they can begin to ask her some questions and do research on her history. And Nagel's standing in the hallway, and out walks this nun who knows him and calls him Francis because she knew his mother and used to tell on him all the time. You know, and it's like, where did you come from? And it turns out that Sister Catherine is perhaps the most important character in the book. With all the other stuff that's going on, she has her hand in all of it. And it's a surprise to everybody that she does. And even as I tell you that, and even as you read it, and I'm hoping you do read it.
You know I will.
I think you'll be surprised by what her life is like. And that brings up the question of what to do with Frank now that I've got these three done. I have to go back and sort of do his background. Sister Catherine has to be in that first book because it's 20 years before these books, and he was in high school, and she knew him, and she knew his wife. And what does that mean? I don't know yet. Sister Catherine's probably going to tell me at some point.
Yeah. I'm going to make you bring your computer next time so you could be working on these stories while we're doing our radio podcast or broadcast here, because we're taking time away from Frank and developing him, and now we know Sister Catherine is going to be involved there. And we need to know where she started and how she got involved, and now we know.
If you have a clue, call me. It's sort of that kind of thing sometimes. But it's, you know, but she's this, she turned out to be a very interesting character. You know, and I never went to Catholic school, and I know a few nuns, you know, but casually, because I met them while being a newspaper reporter and things like that. But she's there. I understand who Sister Catherine is, and I understand who she is in his life. And he understands who she is in his life, and that's probably what's going to be taking place in the rewrite of the first book, is how she tries to help him deal with this stuff, both the quest for life and the existence of death. Without giving away anything that happened in the next book.
Now, I know our listeners who haven't read these books would like to have information on how to get them. I know they're on BarnesandNoble.com.
They're on Amazon.com, Kobo.com. They're on Walmart.com.
And that's a new one.
And that's a new one. My publisher got a new distributor, and Walmart showed up. And initially, a couple of years ago, they were having some trouble with Barnes & Noble. Books were listed on the site, but they weren't showing up anywhere. They seem to have aggressively dealt with those issues. I mean, they're at several bookstores. They're in about 15 libraries in New Jersey. They're all on my website, michaelstephendaigle.com. And, you know, I've donated books to libraries because you really just want people to read them.
Well, they're such rich characters. I feel like if people don't read them, they're missing these great people in their lives. And who couldn't use a few more friends in their lives? As complicated as they can be, and frustrating sometimes when you're reading this and you're thinking, come on, just give it up, you know, just let it go. And yet he doesn't. So
no, he doesn't. It's hard because in the first book, there's a scene where, and this is what defines Frank Nagler, in the swamps of Jersey, he's on his way to the crime scene, and he asks him, and at that point, Ironton, New Jersey, besides the economic mess, they had a week-long tropical storm. So the streets are filled with water. The river overflowed. People have been evacuated. They're living in the high school. Very much similar to several events in the last decade in New Jersey several different times. So Frank's driving down the street, and he muses because it's 3 o'clock in the morning. He's had two cups of coffee and hasn't slept in 3 days. He goes, what would the ancients do with rain like this? And then he laughs and says, conjure up a tale of a guy with a boat and tell a story about the wages of sin. And then he stops and says, and then get out of town. Frank is the guy with the boat. He's the honest man in all of this. And that presents him the problem of how to deal with all of the stuff that just doesn't match up with what he thinks should be happening. And he both understands the world of crime because he's a veteran police officer and he's been dealing with it his whole life. But as a human being, he questions, why does all this stuff happen? And he's not quite a Charlie Brown character. He goes, why does it always happen to me? But because of his nature as a police officer, he's right in the middle of it, and he's an easy target, and his friends are an easy target. And one of the things he has to deal with all the time is how to protect his friends from the guys that he's trying to catch. And they all end up picking on his friends. And they're easy targets, and Frank has to say, how do I protect you? And that's a problem for him because he knows he can't. There's going to be times where there's nothing he can do to make them safe, and that bothers him.
Frank has to realize that he can't control the entire world.
No.
But he doesn't. He wants to keep his friends safe, and he wants good to prevail. At the same time, he doesn't expect it to, but you feel like he wants it to.
Well, it's also at one point in the end of The Weight of Living, one crucial scene where the scene in which Lauren tells him, you don't get to grieve in private, Frank. We expect you to fix stuff for us. You put the criminal mayor in jail. You know, you put Charlie Adams, the serial killer, in jail. People see you and feel safe that you're here. They expect that your presence will make things better. You can't run away from that. And that, In its nutshell, is where Frank is. He wants to be the regular guy, but people look up to him as the hero and the savior of the town. He's the guy they come to when they want things to get fixed. And it's a terrible burden, both for him and also for his friends, who are just constantly getting in the way of the bad guys. And so he has to protect them and protect the town. And he does, you know, at one point he wants to just say, enough's enough. And so the next book beyond A Weight of Living is going to be Frank Nagler confronting that question. What is enough? When do I say enough is enough? But then he still hangs around. So that's who he is.
Well, that's why we like him, because he's complicated and he is an idealist, and yet he has this paranoia going on, but it's not really paranoia because all these things do happen to him. So he's complicated, and he is a good character because he is real, and he that he's a true person.
Okay, thank you.
Has conflict and tries to deal with it as best as he can, and still wants to help, and still feels conflict when things go wrong.
Yeah. He's it's a struggle for him. He'd like everything to be simple, but it's not. And he both understands that he wants it to be simple, and he knows that it won't be simple. And then he figures out how to simplify it at some point, you know.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about him and read more about him in The Weight of Living. Mike, thanks so much for spending your hour with us. Radio time does go quickly. So again, it's Michael Stephen Daigle. His books can be found at barnesandnoble.com and walmart.com. The first book, The Swamps of Jersey, and the second book, A Game Called Dead, in the Frank Nagler series. Mystery Series, which is what our topic was today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and Merry Christmas to all your listeners.
Absolutely. We're wrapping up towards the end of the year, and this is Georgine Trinkle, your host at Hot and Hunterdon. Thanks for listening in to us today, and we look forward to seeing you listening in next Monday. Have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Every day, every morning, same words. Sir, nothing has changed. Let's go over it again. I don't need that.
President-elect Donald Trump speaking to Fox News Sunday about why he hadn't been taking some intelligence briefings. Critics of Trump have been saying it shows he doesn't have a commitment to learn about national security. Meanwhile, it's been found that President Obama misses on average 4 out of every 7 daily briefings. Trump also spoke about pipelines, saying they are under burdensome regulations and create jobs.
We have jobs that are in the pipeline. And I deal with all the executives, the big ones and the small ones. I have really gotten to know this country. And when you have to wait 10 and 15 years for an approval, and then you don't even get the approval, it's no good.
The White House joining Democratic calls for an investigation.